取る。
Michael Malice here with Hump Days with Mike Shade for you to grow a hunchback too. Okay, my favorite, there's lots of different kinds of President Trump. My favorite, by far, I don't know, no, my favorite would probably be the one making peace possibly in North Korea. That would be the favorite. But up there, the one that's actually delivering, like, to a, like, 100% degree as opposed to progress, is Petty Trump. Love him. Love thin-skinned, petty, shady, bitchy, night rage Trump. And he has been going after Kelly Conway's wife, George Conway. That's right. I said it. He said today that George Conway is a, quote, husband from hell to his wife, Kellyanne, and accused him of doing his wonderful wife a tremendous disservice. He also appeared to claim that Kellyanne Conway played a role in preventing her husband from receiving a high-profile job in the Justice Department. This is according to Politico. Kellyanne Conway is a senior counsel to the president and his first his campaign manager, and you don't hear about this in the corporate press, the first woman to win presidential campaign as manager. They don't talk about that. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. I don't know him. He's a whack job. There's no question about him, he told reporters this afternoon at the White House. The president claimed on Twitter earlier that those who know him refer to George Conway as Mr. Kellyanne Conway, and again asserted that Conway's frequent criticism of the president stems from jealousy over his wife's success. I love this stuff. Here's the question I had, and I didn't want to put this on Twitter because I think it's kind of shitty, so I'll do it behind a paywall. If the president is constantly clowning your husband and you are, like, high up in his administration, does that mean you're having a lot of fucking and that's angry, or you're not fucking? There's some kind of it's carrying over into the bedroom, that is for sure. George Conway, Trump added, is angry that I, with her help, didn't give him the job he so desperately wanted. George Conway, often referred to Mr. Okay, scroll up. This is the tweet from earlier today. Okay, he goes, I barely know him, but just take a look. Can we get a picture of George Conway? He's got this Paul Manafort thing going. Just take a look. A stone-cold loser and husband from hell. Despite the president's claim, Conway told the Washington Post yesterday that he turned down Trump's offer to lead DOJ's civil division after Trump's abrupt firing of James Comey and the appointment of Robert Mueller as special counsel to oversee the Russia investigation. There's George Conway. I mean, just look at him. Stone-cold loser. I'm thinking to myself, this is Conway talking to the Post. I'm thinking to myself, this guy's going to be at war with the Justice Department for the next 2 years. I'm not doing this. Well, if he's a horrible president, don't you have an obligation to be at war with him? Resist, hashtag resistance. He said Trump even applauded his decision, telling him later he was smart not to take a job under then Attorney General Jeff Sessions. To be fair, I think Trump, whenever he wants someone to like him, just says, oh, when you did that, that was smart. That's very Trump thinking and talking. The president's remarkable decision to wait until the marriage of one of his top advisors. This isn't remarkable. I remember there was a tweet when he was yelling at the chick from Twilight to not date some guy. Robert Pattinson or something. It was very weird. The president's decision comes after he mostly resisted the urge to respond to George Conway's Twitter critiques. So, again, when someone you like does it on Politico, it's a Twitter critique. When someone you don't like does it, they're a troll. Twitter critiques. There's no fucking critiques on Twitter. There's shit talking and shade. Nightshade. But Conway's lately taken to seriously questioning Trump's mental health, and on Monday urged voters to consider his, quote, mental condition and psychological state ahead of the 2020 election. What he should do, people should say that Trump's a racist. He'll never get the nomination at that rate. Yesterday, Trump called George Conway an accomplished attorney and longtime player in GOP, who is a longtime player in GOP circles, a total loser, and retweeted a post that claimed the president didn't know his advisor's husband. I like passive-aggressive retweeting. This is Trump at his finest. He reiterated the claim again today, though Conway outlined to the Post a series of interactions between himself and the president going back more than a decade. I barely know him, but just take a look. Stone Cold Loser, husband from hell. Conway hit back today, firing back 24 tweets and retweets in response, calling the president nuts and asserting that Trump was proving his point about being mentally unfit. You seem determined to prove my point. Good for you. Hashtag narcissistic personality disorder. That's a big hashtag. He could have just done NPD. Conway wrote in one tweet, invoking one of the conditions he believes Trump may have. He later tweeted a screenshot of the American Psychiatric Association's diagnostic criteria for the condition. Now here, let me defend Conway. Because when I first saw this, I'm like, you really shouldn't diagnose someone who you don't really know and you only see them on TV. I'm like, wait a minute. Your wife is really high up in the administration. She was a campaign manager. That means she's coming home. She's bitching about this dude. So you're seeing what he's really like probably behind the scenes and probably at his worst because she's complaining about it. She's not praising him to you because you're not hearing it. So maybe there's something there. Who knows? Conway also responded to another Twitter user in between shots of the president who'd asked why he would risk hurting his wife by hurling insults at her boss. Fair question. He said his concerns stem from Trump's, quote, signs of serious mental instability combined with his command over the world's second largest arsenal of nuclear weapons. As we've seen and has been proven, electing Trump would lead to nuclear war, as we have seen over the last the three nuclear wars he got us into in 2017, the four last year, and so far none this year, but there's going to be at least seven before April is out, I'm certain. The Conway's disagreements about Kellyanne's boss are well documented, and neither has disparaged the other in public, but George said yesterday he feels it's better to air his grievances about Trump publicly on Twitter, so I don't end up screaming at Kellyanne about it. Or you could, you know, be supportive of your wife, but what do I know? I'm not married. Kellyanne Conway addressed the issue in a CNN series featuring powerful women that was published today, though her interview for the piece took place before the Twitter broadsides this week. She appeared to approve of his nickname for her husband, saying the term was clever, and she alluded to the relatively unconventional power dynamic of their relationship. It's an unusual situation, especially in politics or Washington, certainly Republican politics. It's very unusual for a husband to get his notoriety and power through his wife. It's usually the other way around. She also laid out how drastically her husband's feelings about Trump have changed since Election Day 2016. George was so excited, literally crying with joy in his MAGA hat, black, not red, with his MAGA hat on election night. Why? I gotta be black. So in that way, he's changed his opinion on matters with the president and the presidency. But, she added, I haven't, and Donald Trump has it. And in an exclusive interview with Politico today, after Wednesday's jab, she said she wasn't sweating the tensions between her husband and her boss and that the issue didn't dominate her relationship with the president. He left alone for months out of respect for me, but you think he shouldn't respond when somebody, a non-medical professional accuses him of having a mental disorder? You think he should just take that sitting down? She said that Trump had looked past the potential distractions her husband posed and argued that her standing with the president hadn't been diminished by her husband's slights. The president is obviously defending me. He could privately say to me, honey, you're a distraction. We love you. You'll always be a part of the family. But go be with your kids. They need you. Go make $1 million an hour. Go do that, honey. It's the opposite. So this is pretty funny. And so I wanted to start with a nice, fun story, because there's another story here that's really not that fun and is very, very dark and disturbing. And that's the Epstein case that's been going on. Who's that?
It's Epstein from Mr. Cotter.
Really? Is that his name? Okay, I like
that's it. That's the character's name.
I do like that. Yeah, good. That I like. So, Cernovich has been involved in this case, as we will see in a second. So, Jeff Epstein, you know, Lolita Island, all this pedophilia and underage girls for sex, this very, very, very dark stuff. So, two mystery litigants are citing privacy concerns in a last-ditch bid to keep secret some details in a lawsuit stemming from Jeff Epstein's history of paying underage girls for sex. Just prior to a court-imposed deadline yesterday, two anonymous individuals surfaced to object to the unsealing of a key lower court ruling in the case, as well as various submissions by the parties. Both people filed their complaints in New York's Second Circuit of Appeals, which is overseeing the case. The two people said they could face unwarranted speculation and embarrassment if the court makes public records from the suit in which Virginia Guffrey, an alleged Epstein victim, accused longtime Epstein friend, what's his name? Ghislaine Maxwell, of engaging in sex trafficking by facilitating his sexual encounters with teenage girls. Maxwell denied the charges. Wholesale unsealing of the summary judgment materials will almost certainly disclose unadjudicated allegations against third persons, allegations that may be the product of false statements or perhaps simply mistake, confusion, or failing memories of events alleged to have occurred over a decade and a half ago. This is from former federal prosecutor Nick Levin in an amicus brief that was filed yesterday. His brief doesn't provide any details about his client, identified as John Doe, beyond saying he potentially is mentioned in the underlying court filings and opinion. Levin, who's based in Manhattan, declined to comment. He said, if the identities of non-parties are not adequately protected, the release of the summary judgment materials in this case would likely cause severe and irreparable harm to a wide variety of non-parties, including those implicated in the conduct and those potentially victimized by it, says the brief. The other anonymous brief came from Washington-based attorney Carrie Campbell, who handles gender equality cases, is affiliated with the Time's Up movement to combat sexual harassment. Campbell requested that the brief submitted on behalf of J. Doe be put under seal, but said in legal papers that the client is objecting to public disclosure of specific content pertaining to Doe to protect compelling personal privacy interests. Campbell did not respond to comment. Now, Guffrey and Maxwell settled the lawsuit for an undisclosed amount in 2017 after the judge turned down Maxwell's bid to head off a trial. In the lead up to that ruling, the judge accepted almost all filings in the case under seal without specific orders justifying the secrecy. Three different parties. This is the Venn diagram. This is where it gets really interesting. Three different parties asked Sweet to unseal records in the case. Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz, prominent Trump defender, but he's also hardly a right winger. Mike Cernovich also filed. They describe him as a far right social media personality. That's much better than what they usually call him, like alt right rape apologist. So it says, even says filmmaker and far right social media personality. And in fact, he had recently changed his Twitter handle to filmmaker Mike Cernovich and the Miami Herald. Dershowitz said he wanted several records released to disprove and discredit allegations two women have made that they had sex with him at Epstein's direction. Dershowitz has categorically denied the allegations. Cernovich says that the far-ranging secrecy in the case undermined efforts to expose sex trafficking by American elites, and the Miami Herald sought to open all the records in the suit as part of a series on Epstein it was preparing and ultimately published last year. Sweet turned down all the requests, prompting an appeal to the Second Circuit, where a three-panel judge heard arguments on the issue earlier this month and indicated last week it plans to soon release Sweet's opinion and related filings. The judges asked any parties in the appeal with specific objections to notify the court by yesterday. Maxwell indicated in papers filed by her lawyers yesterday that she continues to oppose any unsealing. Her attorneys said that if appeals court believes some unsealing is required, the matter should be returned to Sweet for action, since he's the one, Judge Sweet, since he's the one most familiar with the case. And Guffrey is supporting immediate unsealing of some materials and a broader unsealing of all records, but said in yesterday's filing that some personal information should be held back, like names of minors, social security numbers, dates of birth, and phone numbers. The truth is, Ms. Maxwell and Mr. Epstein sexually trafficked Guffrey to their well-connected friends, both in this country and elsewhere, this according to their attorneys. Unfortunately, critical documents and transcripts proving the truth of Ms. Guffrey's allegations remain sealed in the vault of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. It's time for the truth to come out. Allie, I like that. That's clever. Last month, federal judge in Florida ruled that federal prosecutors broke the law a decade ago by failing to consult with and misleading victims of Epstein before making a deal that waived federal charges in exchange for him pleading guilty to two state felony prostitution charges. He ultimately served 13 months of a 19-month sentence, much of us working from his office during the day. Wow, sex trafficking? You just have to stay home. It's like, I'm getting punished for sex trafficking. I'm fucking home all the time. The ruling has been a major headache for Labor Secretary Alex Acosta, who was U.S. attorney in Miami at the time, and approved the plea deal. A Justice Department ethics watchdog has launched an investigation into this. And Acosta has denied any wrongdoing and said the deal was a reasonable move by his office in light of the available evidence and other considerations. All right. Now, there's more about Alan Dershowitz. Remember yesterday the Devin Nunes case? I broke that down at length. He says, and he's a very respected attorney, Representative Nunes has no case at all against Twitter. He added during an interview on Fox News America's Newsroom that his lawsuit is wrong from a political and ideological point of view. If you don't like what Twitter is doing, create an alternative company. If you don't like what Facebook, if you don't like what any of the others are doing, the American way is competition. Dershowitz is also an opinion contributor for The Hill. He says, look, a lot of people thought that the Democrats controlled the media. Democrats. Well, I should do the parentheses. And along came Fox. Now you have two sides represented. You can watch Fox. You can watch other programs. That's the answer. The answer is to create competing media. Nunes is suing Twitter, as I said yesterday, for more than $250 million. Now, we are going to get to a segment on this show that's been – I haven't done this in a little bit of time, but it's certainly a long time coming. It's time for Night Rage. Now, some of you may be familiar a bit with this story from my Instagram, but let me break it down. Last August on this show, I did a segment of ours called God's Mistakes, and in it, I discussed the giraffe weevil. We got a picture of the giraffe weevil right here. Now, the giraffe weevil is indigenous to Madagascar. Those are the males. The males have long necks, and what's more bizarre, the necks have a hinge in them. And I'm not sure what they use those necks for, if it's territory, it's a sign of virility, fighting for females, who knows. The point is, they're really weird looking, and they're really, really cool. And I thought to myself, one day, I want to go to Madagascar, maybe I'll see these and other animals in their natural habitat. The thing with Madagascar is, because it's called the eighth continent, because it's been geographically isolated for quite a bit of time, and because it's so big, there's many, many species that are found there and nowhere else on Earth, including the zigzag tree, which grows branches in a zigzag covered in spines. They're very, very cool. And I'm blanking on the name of the zigzag tree in Latin for them to look up. What's the look up zigzag bush? I know the family, and it's in Aloidea. Decaria. Decaria. I only know the Latin name. You got it? Look at this. These things are amazing looking, and there you can't keep them in New York. It's a pain in the ass. They're hard to keep in your house. Got it? There it is. Look at that. Look how it grows. So that's woody. And at the end of every corner, there's two thorns. So they're really, really cool. You could find those in Madagascar as well in the spiny forest. So I was thinking to myself, like, oh, wait a minute. You've always liked these weird bugs since you were a kid, weird animals, weird fish, weird plants I wasn't into as a kid that was more as an adult. And I thought to myself, you know what? Why don't I look to see, instead of getting on a flight to Madagascar, you know how, like, when you're a kid and you're watching David Attenborough, maybe you guys weren't, or even now Blue Planet, and you see these animals fighting, and you're like, I don't know what these look like in real life, because it's the camera photography is just really amazing. They really get in there. They add these sound effects, and once you realize, like, all these underwater scenes, they're all sound effects that are added. Like, you're like, oh, wait a minute. They're making these sounds. There is some sounds underwater, but not the ones they're adding. So I went on eBay, and I looked up how much a giraffe weevil would cost. And you know what it was? You guys know what it was?
I'm guessing like $8.
Yeah, it was $7, including shipping from France.
It's all shipping, pretty much.
I don't understand how that was. So I'm like, okay, so you could get one in a box that's displayed with the wings open for $65. First of all, I'm not displaying bugs in my house. It's already enough of a serial killer vibe in there. Well, with all the corpses, there's so many things you can buy on eBay if you just stop and think about it. I almost won the auction for JonBenet's foot, but it was so expensive and it was not in good condition. So
his foot?
JonBenet's foot, yeah.
All right.
So they came, and I opened up the package. There's a lot of cotton in there. Made me feel like a Southerner back in the day. Pulled all the cotton out. Box is empty. Oh, let me go and look through the cotton. It fell out. Here's the fucking giraffe weevil. This is how big they are. Yeah.
Jeez.
This is why they're $7. It's a lot less impressive when it's the size of a pen cap. The fuck am I gonna do with this? I can't even display it because, like, if you touch it, the legs are gonna fall off. $7 for this. And no, I don't get manicures. They're just actually, I just type all day. That's what people think I get manicures. So yeah, this is my giraffe weevil. I got a bunch of them. I'm like, all right, let me get every bug I thought was cool as a kid. I spent the hours, a couple of hours, found them all. A couple of them don't suck. A couple of them are really, really cool, and maybe I'll show those on a live stream someday. But yeah, that is why I am full of night rage. Well, you know what? I'm not that angry because there's only $7. And I saved myself a plane ticket. So maybe this is a night shine situation.
Yeah, it would have really sucked if you went all the way out there and you found like a little tiny bug that you thought was going to be huge.
Oh, God, yeah, you're right. And I'd be and I'd be like, I got in a plane for you. And then I would just try to kill them all out of just to spite them.
Just stomping around like a pile of ants.
Jesus Christ. And then the ants would be the worst. They'd kill me. Some of those ants are no joke.
They kill
all right.
Deer.
The last thing we have is a video. This is from, who is this?
It's Trump.
Oh, this is from Trump. Yeah. This is Trump talking about McCain. Before we play this, Twitter has been having a meltdown today because Trump's gone after McCain, and so many people have started defending McCain as a consequence. Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're attacking John McCain. John McCain went after him, too. The feeling was mutual, except John McCain's dead now. So let's play a little bit of this. And we're going to pause it early on because he says something which everyone on the left immediately took at face value. The rule is if it's your people, you defend them and you provide context. If it's the other side, you develop autism and take everything literally and at face value and ascribe the worst possible meaning to it and just feign ignorance of the English language and nuance. Let's play some of this clip.
I've never liked them much. Hasn't been for me. I've really probably never will, because they love me and they ask me about a man named John McCain.
Wait, what's going on?
It's the same.
And if you want to tell you about, should I or not? Yes? Yes?
Okay.
But it's working.
So I have to be honest, I've never liked them much. Hasn't been for me. I've really probably never will. But there are certain reasons for it, and I'll tell you. And I do this to save a little time with the press later on. John McCain received a fake and phony dossier. Do you hear about the dossier? It was paid for by crooked Hillary Clinton, right? And John McCain got it. He got it. And what did he do? Didn't call me. He turned it over to the FBI, hoping to put me in jeopardy. And that's not the nicest thing to do. You know, when those people say, because I'm a very loyal person. John McCain campaigned for years to repeal and replace Obamacare, for years, in Arizona, great state. I love the people of Arizona. But he campaigned for years for repeal and replace. So did Rob, so did a lot of senators. When he finally had the chance to do it, he voted against repeal and replace. He voted against at 2 o'clock in the morning. Remember, thumbs down. We said, what the hell happened? He said 2 hours before he was voting to repeal and replace, and he went thumbs down. Badly hurting the Republican Party, badly hurting our nation, and hurting many sick people who
sick
desperately
people.
Wanted good, affordable health care. We would have had it. This would have saved our country over $1 trillion in entitlements, and we would have ended up making a great health care plan, frankly, with the Democrats, because they would have had no choice. McCain didn't get the job done.
Pause this. I can't tell if he's reading from a teleprompter. This sounds like he's reading from a teleprompter, and it's kind of interesting because usually when he tells his stories, he has a certain cadence to his speech. It really does seem like he's reading it, and it looks like he feel if I had to, you know, do my armchair quarterbacking or backseat driving, whatever the fucking metaphor is, I don't know how to play sports or drive. He's gotten a lot of heat from Megan, as I covered on Monday, I believe, on this show. People are like, come on, the guy's dead, getting a break. Maybe the donors are upset. So he, it seems to me, very clearly is laying out the case of why he thinks John McCain isn't an admirable person and the shitty things he did. And he's doing it in a much more methodical and coherent manner than he's usually doing. And he's being the delivery is very calm. It's like, look, he did the dossier. He went to the FBI to try to get me in trouble. Then he hurt America as well. So this is looks like it was been written out, and this is him taking seriously the fact that people are kind of pissed. Certain Republicans are pissed that he's going after the late Senator McCain. Okay, let's play some more of this.
For our great vets and the VA, and they knew it. That's why when I had my dispute with him, I had such incredible support from the vets and from the military. The vets were on my side because I got the job done. I got choice, and I got accountability. Accountability meaning somebody mistreats our vets. For 45 years, they were trying. They mistreat our vets. And we say, hey, you're fired. Get out. Can't mistreat our vets. They never got it done. And choice, for years and years, decades, they wanted to get choice. You know what choice is? You're a military person. You're one of our great people. To me, one of the great people.
Now he's riffing.
For many decades, they couldn't get it done. It was never done. I got it 5 months ago. I got it done. Choice. Instead of waiting in line, a vet fought for us.
I wish
fought in these tanks.
It's like when he beat O'Rourke.
Instead of waiting in line for 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months.
Get to the good
people
stuff.
People waiting in line, they're not very sick. By the time they see a doctor, they're terminally ill. We gave them choice. If you have to wait for any extended period of time, you go outside, you go to a local doctor, we pay the bill,
it
the,
sounds like
you
an
get
SNL
yourself better, go home to your family.
Talks.
And we got it passed. We got it done. And the other thing is we're in a war.
In how long
Middle
is
East
this?
That McCain pushed so hard. He was calling Bush, President Bush, all the time. Get into the Middle East. Get into the Middle East.
About another minute.
So now we're into that war for $7 trillion. Thousands and thousands of our people have been killed, millions of people overall. And frankly, we're straightening it out now, but it's been a disaster for our country. We've spent tremendous wealth, and tremendous lives in that war. And what do we have? It's worse than it was 19 years ago. I call them the endless wars. 19 years ago when we started. So John McCain left it. I endorsed him at his request, and I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve.
Hold on.
I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay.
Pause it.
We sent him on the way, but I wasn't a
Pause
fan
it.
Of John McCain. So
people
now
online.
Now.
People online, Chris Hayes and a couple others said
but the press keeps...
Trump was pissed that McCain didn't rise from the grave and thank him for the funeral. That's how they framed it. So when he said, I approved the funeral, I didn't get thanked, they took that as meaning I approved the funeral, I didn't get thanked by McCain. Yeah, that's... And does that even – we've all seen Trump unhinged at his worst. That is not him frothing at the mouth. That is him talking calmly and methodically, as calmly and methodically as he can. If anything, it's kind of boring. So I don't even know what that means. To have him be like, oh, my God. Chris Hayes was in all caps on Twitter, MSNBC host. Trump is – he what a lunatic. He's upset that McCain didn't rise from the grave and thank him. When you say thanked, that's the passive voice. He could mean I didn't get what he's clearly saying, which I shouldn't have to explain to anyone. I don't think I ever think ever. It's as obvious as anyone watching this is. He's saying I didn't get credit for it, for being magnanimous. He could be meaning specifically the McCain family, or he could be meaning the press, or he could be meaning Republicans. He could be saying, look, you're all going after me now. when this guy was hitting me hard and betraying the country in all these wars. But when push came to shove, I delivered for him, and I didn't get thanked for it. Yeah, this is not a complicated chain of reasoning. Let's finish this up. He didn't rise from the dead. What's that?
That's it.
That was the end. So it's just amazing how when you watch something like this, and if anything, that's, I mean, of all the crazy things Trump has said, this is nowhere near the top 100. They will look at this and with a straight face say, holy shit, Trump is pissed that John McCain wasn't resurrected, and give him credit. That is, and these are the people who for decades were the only ones who had control over the microphone in this country. But since I have the microphone on this country, at least on this show, I'm going to call it a night. Tomorrow we've got major news coming out of the Netherlands. I will break it down for you. The government is falling apart. But until then, I will wish you sweet dreams.